Well, just going back over the course of this past week, I think the big surprises in the US were that the inflation's just not coming down quite as well as it should be. So we had the January CPI came out. Market was looking for a 0.2% increase on that. It was 0.3. As a result of that, the annual inflation rate came down from 3.4% to 3.1%, but that 3.1% still above the recent low point dip of 3% going back to June last year. You know, there was hope it was going to come down under 3%. It didn't do that. And the core inflation rate was worse. The core inflation rate came in at 0.4% month on month after a 0.3% move the month before. And as a result of that, the core CPI is just stuck at 3.9% year on year in both December and January. So, you know, that was probably the first little bit of a shock to the system, the Fed really is going to have to wait a little while longer before it can start to think about bringing down interest rates. And then that story was reinforced late in the week too, when we had the producer price index came out. And the producer price index was a lot stronger than the market expected. In January, the market was looking for a 0.1% increase for the headline PPI. It was 0.3%. And the core PPI, taking out food and energy costs, they were expecting 0.1 on that. It was 0.5. And so that lifted the annual core producer price index from 1.7% to 2%. It's almost as if, you know, we're starting to see a little bit of a flip upwards in the pipeline again. So, you know, this is a concern and suggests that, you know, we're going to be stuck with these higher interest rates for a little longer. The other data out of the United States, a bit more mixed. Some of the lead indicators were actually quite strong. So, for example, we had the February National Association of Home Builders Index. That lifted from 44 to 48. So quite a decent lift running through that. We also had some of the regional manufacturing purchasing managers indices from New York State and also the Philadelphia Fed. The New York State one went from minus 43.7 going back the month before to minus 2.4. So by any measure, that's a pretty significant improvement. It still shows more pessimists than optimists, but is really starting to come back to almost to balance again. And for the Philadelphia Fed, it was even better than that, because the Philadelphia Fed survey went from minus 10.6 going back to the month of January. It was expected to be minus 8. It came in at plus 5.2. So again, you know, these bounces are running through those particular indicators. Having said that, you know, we had some retail sales figures out of the US. You know, these had been extremely strong. But in January, we had a fall in retail sales. So it was minus 0.8%. That was a little bit unexpected. Core retail sales were down 0.6% as well. But it comes after several very strong months. So we're waiting to see whether that continues as we go ahead. So all told, it was the inflation watch. And I should mention also the initial jobless claims. They're still pointing to a very, very tight labor market in the US. They came down to 212,000 from 220,000. So, you know, these are still tracking, you know, close to 300,000 non-farm payrolls increases when we get those numbers early next month as well. So still, you know, this residual strength creating sticky inflation, that's a problem for the Fed. We may hear a bit more about that this week. There's not a lot of data coming out of the US, but we do get the minutes of the Fed meeting. In fact, today is a public holiday in the US. It's President's Day, Washington's birthday, and I think there's one other there. So there's two presidents. They celebrate on this particular public holiday. But on Wednesday, we'll get the minutes of the last FOMC meeting. It'll be interesting to see what the talk is in that. And other than that, you know, we're looking at old-style Purchasing Managers Index figures coming out for February later in the week. Both of those readings, both the manufacturing and services, are above 50. So they're in expansionary territory. Going back to January, the old-style manufacturing PMI was at 50.7. The services sector, 52.5, strong reading. And they're expected still to be in the 50s when the figures come out later this week. We'll be watching initial jobless claims to see if it holds down at that 212,000 level the most recent week on Thursday. Other than that, you've got some existing home sales data coming out for January on Thursday as well. That's expected to lift a little bit by 4.8%. And you're still going through the reporting season, and the reporting season so far has been patchy, but there have been quite a few strong parts to it. Just helping to keep people optimistic about the equity market, even though the interest rate outlook is probably shifting a bit and there's still a bit more inflation around. Moving to China, there was nothing of note there last week because obviously it was holidays all week long. The People's Bank of China will meet this week, and we're waiting to see some sort of initiatives to try and boost particularly retail spending, retail demand in China. It's probably likely we'll get a very small interest rate cut from the PBOC. They don't do things dramatically. So we're looking at their rate to come down from 4.2% to 4.1%. So a small cut coming through from the PBOC, we think, through the course of the week. Moving to Australia, we had some sentiment indicators, and the sentiment indicators were mostly firmer. We had January NAB business sentiment, business confidence. Business confidence actually lifted from a revised zero. It was at minus one going back the month before. They revised that up to zero, and it lifted further to plus one for the month of January. The business sentiment indicator, again, revised upwards to plus eight the month before, came back a little bit to plus six, but overall reasonably firm indicators there. And we had February Westpac consumer sentiment came out. That was down 1.3% going back to January. It lifted by 6.2% in February. It's still a low index reading, but it's a reasonably strong lift running through that number. So as I say, there's still this sort of residual strength there, but it didn't show in the labour force data we got later in the week. So we had the January labour force report came out. Employment was expected to rise about 25,000. It only rose by 500. Admittedly, full-time employment was up 11,100, but pretty weak in terms of employment growth. That came after 62,704 going back the month before. Participation rate stayed at 66.8%. So the unemployment rate actually went up by two notches to 4.1% from 3.9%. That's the highest unemployment rate in 2 years. Having said that, 4.1% is still a very low unemployment rate. What we can say about the labour market is it's showing signs of turning. There's not the strength through it that there was, but it's still a pretty tight labour market. Now, the RBA really needs the labour market. They're not saying it openly, but they need to be a bit weaker than this in order to help cap wage growth. Because when you look at what the Reserve Bank needs to achieve over the course of this year going into 2025, it must somehow cap wage growth and start to bring it down below 4% year on year. They're also hoping for quite a large lift in productivity. That in turn gives them their best chance of getting back to their inflation target by the time they get to the middle of 2025 and beyond. This labour market data helps to a degree, but it's not going to make any difference to when they can start to bring interest rates down. That's still a long way in the future. You need a lot more of this softness to show through the labour market to really start to contain wages. And this week, we get the Q4 wage price index. The market's looking for 0.9% quarter on quarter. It was 1.3% quarter on quarter the quarter before. That would lift the annual wage growth rate to 4.1% from 4.0%. Now, above 4 is too high for the Reserve Bank. There's no way you can get inflation back inside target when you've got soft productivity change and wages running at these levels. So, yeah, they desperately need that wage growth to start to come clattering back into the mid, towards the mid threes and lower over the course of the next year. And they need to see that starting to happen. I don't think they're going to get it with this figure. You know, this figure is still going to be very, very strong. And so, yeah, this is why it's still going to take a long time before the Reserve Bank can start to think about cutting interest rates. This has got to weaken, and at the moment they're facing two factors which are against them on this. One is the tightness of the labour market. Well, we might be getting just a little bit less tight labour market according to the labour force figures, but the other part they're facing is the cheerleading for higher wage increases that's coming through from the government, unrequited by any productivity change. So, yeah, you can go for higher wages, but you have to have some quid pro quo in terms of what, you know, what sort of productivity change we're going to get to compensate for this. There's been nothing of that in the large wage rises which have run through for the many deserving people that the government's been pointing to over the course of the past year. And that's problematic because it means we probably need a lot more weakness through the labour market. You really have to batten this down with a sledgehammer, and that means we probably need a much higher unemployment rate to really take the steam out of the wage market. And so they're not talking about this in open space, but yeah, that's basically the difficult point we've got to. They've always talked about this very narrow window to get to have a soft landing and get inflation down. Well, that window is all but closed. I think they're not going to be able to get inflation down without generating some sort of recession. Whilst people complain about what the Reserve Bank's doing and saying that they don't understand, they have one focus, and that is to get that inflation rate back to target. And at the moment, it's still a very, very tall order and can't be done without breaking a lot more eggs in the economy. That's not a popular message, obviously, as far as the government's concerned, but it's the sort of thing that, unfortunately, in some ways can't be avoided if they're going to meet their target. Moving to Europe, and last week we had several indicators came out. They suggest that January was a little bit better relative to Q4. We had Q4 GDP came out. There's a revision of it. There's no real revision. It was flat, up only 0.1% year on year, so yeah, virtually in recession. We had some GDP figures out of the UK too. They are in recession. But the January figures we got the ZEW economic confidence figures. They were better than expected. They lifted to 25 from 22.7. So that was quite a deal better than expected. We also got some industrial production figures out, and it appears as if the goods producing part in Europe is just starting to lift a bit. They expected that industrial production in December was down 0.2%. It was actually up 2.6%, and the previous month was revised up from a negative figure to plus 0.4%. So a little bit better news just running through that part in Europe. Of course, that leads to the conundrum also for the ECB. They probably have to keep rates where they are too, even though overall the economy is quite soft there. This week in Europe, we'll get the ECB minutes for their last meeting, which will point out their dilemma. The economy's been soft, but they've still got a residual inflation problem, that's preventing them from bringing interest rates down the way that they might like. We get some manufacturing PMI data and services sector PMI data, both for February, coming out later in the week. Unlike other places, particularly the US, they're in the 40s, so they're in contractionary territory, these PMIs. The manufacturing PMI in Europe was 46.6 going back to January, and the services sector PMI was 48.4. They're not expected to be much better than that running for the month of February. So, all in all, it's we've had this bit of an inflation surprise in the US. It's very quiet in the US this week because of the lack of data. And here in Australia, we'll be focused towards the Q4 wage price index when that comes out on Wednesday. there's still the view in the market that we're going through a sort of softish landing, but it's the view's starting to get tempered on what central banks can do with interest rates, and that is shifting towards keeping at these levels for longer, perhaps much longer than the market's currently anticipating.